Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Friday, everybody, and welcome to this very special edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, confirmation of Chrislam, two-state solution, the five red heifers, you name it, it's happening. All these things are advancing the pre-tribulation rapture takeoff timeline. I want to take a little time with this podcast to show you that the timeline for the pre-trib rapture of the church looks like it's been pushed up as we watch key end times events unfold over the past few weeks and months. Now, if you're looking for a date, you're going to be disappointed. I'm not going to set one. But if you're looking to compare scripture with scripture to discern the times that you are living in, well, you've come to the right place. Revelation 4:1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, social media is literally buzzing with predictions about tomorrow, September 24th, which, by the way, incorporate exactly zero scripture. So you can take all of that junk and you can put it in file 13, or you can 86 it, whichever you prefer. What you will see and hear on this broadcast is how overlapping events directly related to Bible prophecy are not only happening, they are increasing in number and frequency. In fact, there is so much happening right now, you have likely missed a lot of it if you are not a regular listener and reader of Now the End Begins. Events like the Roman Pope confirming the one world religion of Chrislam with all the leaders of the world's religions. Events like Israel saying at the United Nations yesterday that they are finally ready for the two-state solution. Five red heifers arriving in Jerusalem. The earth is also changing rapidly as it prepares itself, Romans chapter 8, for the coming judgments from Almighty God. On this episode of the Bible Prophecy News Podcast, if all you're worried about is September 24th, then you are unprepared for what's actually coming. And we're going to show you everything that you need to do to get ready right now. To the flight. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we commit this time to you. We thank you. We praise you. And Father God, you have increased us to such a level I can scarcely comprehend how you're expanding this ministry and increasing our coasts and our borders. And I just don't have any other words for it, Father, except to say thank you. And I am grateful. We are all grateful for what you're doing with this ministry and with these people at this time, God. Lord, we lift up before you Erad wife's Elizabeth, Erad Bursch. He is our national missionary or missionary national in Uganda. And she was taken to the hospital with a couple of days ago and almost died. She's been diagnosed with resistant malaria and she is still very sick and she is 5 months pregnant. They are expecting a girl and have chosen the name of Maranatha. Erad says, please pray for healing for my wife Elizabeth and for a safe pregnancy. Laura Campoy, who was involved in a serious accident, and she's left with many months of rehabilitation, needs our prayer. Annetta is asking for the prayers for a complete healing to walk again after a stroke. Kevin Thompson asking prayers for a possible move in November. Robert Wiley, ALS disease, he needs prayer. Pastor Jeff Shaver, possible cancer diagnosis, he needs prayer. Sandy Thomas wants the Lord to rule and overrule regarding her deceased husband's Social Security account. Janine in South Africa is asking for wisdom for her husband to have the right words to say to witness to both sets of in-laws regarding their salvation. Linda and Joe would like prayers for their daughter Danielle, who is a nurse, and she received the government injection, and she has had health problems ever since. Joseph Perez says he is having a situation with his living arrangement, and he would like our prayers. Charlton is praying for Phoebe of South Carolina and Valerie of Georgia, moms who need guidance from the Lord for their kids. Martin, Charlton's brother, needs a healing touch from the Lord. And Charlton says, always making a blanket prayer to cover your ministry needs and for the brothers and sisters in Christ and for lost people to get saved. Amen. Baby Luca Gross has a rare genetic disorder. We're praying for him to get better. Bianca, she would like prayers for her husband, Derek, to recover himself from the snare of the devil and for their marriage to be healed. Raquel would like prayers for her 11-year-old son with an eating disorder to be healed. Marie Cariocci is praying for her friend Yvonne, who seems to be quite sick, and the doctor says that she might not make it, but Marie says that she is saved. Amen. Fred is in need of our prayers. He had a brain tumor. He recovered from that, but now he has seizures. And we're going to pray for a healing for that. Rachel Elizabeth has an interview about a possible job offer, and she wants prayers for that. Rosilla Papp would like us to pray for her daughter. She's going through some serious issues, divorce, custody, as well as depression. Lorianne's daughter, Haley, has a praise report. She's been volunteering at the local Christian school, and they have hired her 3 days a week as a teacher's aide, and that's huge, huge. They will also be providing her with classes on early childhood education through an accredited program at the school, and we rejoice with your praise report on that. Mitch says, please pray for our youngest daughter, suicidal, and she's a believer but struggling. Little Toe says, please pray for Berta in a webinar over Camp Lejeune poisonings. Please pray for her as she suffers severe leg pains. We are praying for Pastor Charles Lawson. Harmon tells us that he is not feeling well, and he does have some heart issues. So we're going to lift up Pastor Lawson in prayer today. Lulu says, please keep our lost family and friends in prayer. We are so close. Karen says, good morning, church family. Please pray for my heart to continue to have forgiveness for the lost and for people who do unjust and wrong things towards me. So Karen is praying for a forgiving spirit. That's one of the ways that you know that you're a Christian, that you forgive people who wrong you. You can write that down. You can mark that down. How oft should I forgive my brother who sins against me till 70 times 7? No, no, no. Jesus says, no, 70 times 7. And I understand that's the Gospels, but guess what? That's church age doctrine as well. Adam and Katie, please pray that our van stays together. Kenny B. says, please pray for our friends and family to be saved, especially Meadow. Also pray for Eric and Mason, who are pot smokers. Shauna says, my two grandchildren got saved on Wednesday. Amen. Amen, Shauna. That is awesome. And we rejoice with you. Noah says, please pray for my daughter. She is having serious physical issues. And I also have a prayer request here. Let me just pull it up on my phone. Deborah Shular, her husband, Stan, he's really weak, has head pain, and with a cough, he gets out of breath, and she woke up with a fever. They both have COVID, and they're both taking ivermectin. So please keep Deborah and Stan Shuler in your prayers today. Also, Scott Pentagraft, we have been getting him some Bibles for his street ministry up there in North Carolina. Scott Pentagraph has a unspoken prayer request for today. Heavenly Father, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts. We come. Jane says, could I please get prayer for my psoriatic arthritis flare-up? Absolutely. Lord, people need a healing today. We ask you to heal. People need restoration and reconciliation. We ask you to do that, Father God. There are people that need burdens taken off of their back. Your word says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And Father God, we come before you with all these prayers and praises and the unspoken prayers of our hearts. And we ask you to work and move as only you can. And Father God, we commit this time to you. We ask you to meet with us once again. Everybody who needs a healing, please heal them. People who need financial, economic, and relationship changes and reconciliations and restorations, please do it, Lord. And we'll give you all the honor and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Today we have a very, very special program, and I know there are people on YouTube that are setting dates. I'm not going to set a date today, but I am going to share a little bit of my heart with you today. Being the head, the editor-in-chief, God's the head of this ministry, but being the human agency by which this website is operated, I think we can say that. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. But being the editor-in-chief of Now the End Begins for the last 13 years has really given me a very unique perspective. I, as part of my job, I'm required to stay on top of the news every single day, 7 days a week. Over the last 2 years, we have tripled the amount of programming. Nope, not tripled. We went from 2 hours a week to 10 hours a week. We went past that. We're at 12 hours a week now with the interview program. So we have increased the amount of broadcasting that we're doing by 600%. And so you would be right if you were to think that I have to do a lot of research and Bible study in order to bring you these programs. And yes, it is a ridiculous amount of research and news reading and article reading and video watching. And the number one thing is studying my King James Bible. It takes an unbelievable amount of time to do that. And I am glad to do it. I am happy to do it. I thank the Lord every single day that this is the job that he has given me. Now, to that, I'm going to add, in my mind, and I'm just going to share my heart with you, in my mind, for many, many years now, I have said to myself that when we reach a certain point on the timeline, that I was going to go into a mode where I would greatly accelerate not only what I'm doing for the Lord, but it's hard to put this into words, but to do everything that I possibly can to leave it all on the field when the day came where I thought that the rapture was very, very imminent. Well, I'm here to tell you that that day has arrived. And if it's only for me personally, then I receive that. I get that. Maybe that's something that God's giving to me personally because maybe he knows that my time is short. Maybe God's getting ready to call me home. I don't know. I'm not a prophet. I don't have the apostolic mantle that Beth Moore has and Paula White. I'm not a prophet. I'm not an apostle. But all I'm sharing with you is that in my mind, over these many years that I've been doing Now the End Begins, I have said to myself, when we reach a certain point I'm going to go into DEFCON 5 mode because that's how close the rapture is. So today's program is me telling you that from this day forward, me personally, I'm not setting a date. I am just simply saying that the events that I see, we are there. We are absolutely 100% there. And it is time that we prepare ourselves for the takeoff, for Flight 777 to shut the doors and take off. And as far as I'm concerned, we have reached that point. We are there, and we are there right now. So today's program, I'm going to be sharing with you what I feel to be the evidence. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so what I'm going to be sharing with you today is what I believe to be the evidence that we are there, that we have arrived. And from this day forward, from a spiritual perspective, I am going to be in DEFCON 5 mode because that's how close we are. I'm not going to blow it by setting a date. There are two or three dates that look very appetizing to me. But I am telling you, we are there. And because we are there, you need to make sure that you are ready to go. You need to make sure that you are ready to fly. Because when that happens, there's going to be no more time left. Now, what is this world preparing for? This world, this lost, unsaved world, is preparing for this.
I address you tonight not as the President of the United States, not as the leader of a country, but as a citizen of humanity. We are faced with the very gravest of challenges. The Bible calls this day Armageddon, the end of all things. And yet, for the first time in the history of the planet, a species has the technology to prevent its own extinction. All of you praying with us need to know that everything that can be done to prevent this disaster is being called into service. The human thirst for excellence, and knowledge,
excellence et la connaissance.
Every step up the ladder of science, every adventurous reach into space, all of our combined modern technologies and imaginations, even the wars that we fought have provided us the tools to wage this terrible battle. Through all the chaos that is our history, through all of the wrongs and the discord, through all of the pain and suffering, through all of our times, there is one thing that has nourished our souls and elevated our species above its origins, and that is our courage. The dreams of an entire planet are focused tonight on those 14 brave souls traveling into the heavens.
That man's not a salesman. That's your daddy.
And may we all, citizens the world over, see these events through. Godspeed and good luck to you.
This is an historic moment. We have in this past year made great progress in ending the long era of conflict and Cold War. We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and Joel chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and Joel chapter 3. This world is right now in the throes of the establishment of the new world order. That's exactly where we are right now. Today is day 921 of 15 days to flatten the curve. And guess what? The curve has not gotten flat. It just simply shifted to another topic. But it hasn't changed. It hasn't stopped. It hasn't gone away. And the New World Order is continuing its unstoppable, unchecked, relentless rise to power. And what you are watching is you are watching the collapse of the United States of America, the last link in the chain for the New World Order to be able to come in. That clip that I played for you, the first clip, was from the movie Armageddon. And the Bible says this in Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16, verse 16, 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Now, that movie, that clip that I played for you, was from the movie with Bruce Willis, Armageddon. And man was figuring out their own problem. And you heard the person who was the president of the United States. They don't need a Bible. They don't need to know about Armageddon. Armageddon's not coming. We're able to figure it out. We know how to stop it. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-4. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Now turn to Joel chapter 3. I want to show you one of the reasons for the battle of Armageddon from Revelation 16:16. Joel chapter 3 in your King James Bible, verses 1 and 2. For behold, in those days, and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and plead with them there for my people, and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. And if you have a pen, underline it, put a star next to it, highlight it. Those four words tell you why God is going to gather all the nations together. They parted the land of Israel. So the number one thing that I want to show you today that leads me to believe that we are right at the cusp of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, turn to Zephaniah chapter 3. You're not just getting a podcast today, you're getting a Bible study. I'm not setting dates. I'm not giving you opinion. I shared my heart in the beginning. Absolutely. I set the table, but you're getting Bible today. You're not getting my opinion. You're getting Bible. Zephaniah chapter 3. Let me set up the next two clips that I'm going to play for you. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8. Zephaniah 3, 8. Therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. You know what Zephaniah 3:8 is showing you? Zephaniah says, for my determination is to gather the nations. 6 months after the end of World War II, the nations gathered in New York City. They gathered and they called their gathering the United Nations. And then Zephaniah says, for my determination is to gather the nations that I may assemble the kingdoms. So the people who created the United Nations, the New World Order, what do they call it? They call it the United Nations General Assembly. Now, if you want to see fulfillment of Bible prophecy in your day, how much closer are you ever going to get than that? God showing you that in the time of the great tribulation, he is going to gather the nations and assemble the kingdoms. And he is going to do this to all 196 member nations of the United Nations. Now, you want to know what happened at the United Nations yesterday? Keep in mind, Joel chapter 3, verse 2, and parted my land. So, at the United Nations General Assembly, the pretend president of the United States stood up in front of the New World Order and said this.
And we will continue to advocate for lasting negotiated peace between the Jewish and democratic state of Israel and the Palestinian people. The United States is committed to Israel's security, full stop. And a negotiated two-state solution remains, in our view, the best way to ensure Israel's security and prosperity for the future and give the Palestinians the state to which they are entitled. Both sides to fully respect the equal rights of their citizens. Both people enjoy an equal measure of freedom and dignity.
That was the president of the United States, the most powerful nation on earth, the most influential nation on the face of this earth, who stood up in front of the New World Order yesterday and said, we support dividing the land of Israel and giving it to their enemies. Now, you might say, well, that's just the United States. That's just crazy Joe Biden. You want to hear what the Prime Minister of Israel said at the United Nations yesterday? Take a listen to this.
Israel's economic and military strength allows us to protect ourselves, but it also allows us something else. To strive for peace with the entire Arab world and with our closest neighbors, the Palestinians. An agreement with the Palestinians based on the two states for two people is the right thing for Israel's security, for Israel's economy, and for the future of our children. Peace is not a compromise. It is the most courageous decision we can make. Peace is not weakness. It embodies within it the entire might of human spirit. War is a surrender to all that is bad within us. Peace is the victory of all that is good. Despite all the obstacles, still today, a large majority of Israelis support the vision of the two-state solution. I am one of them. We have only one condition, that the future Palestinian state will be a peaceful one, that it will not become another terror base from which to threaten the well-being and the very existence of Israel, that we will have the ability to protect the security of all the citizens of Israel at all times. If someone believes that demand is too much, then look at the neighborhood in which we live.
That was the Prime Minister of the Nation of Israel, Yair Lapid, and he is in full agreement with Joe Biden. Now, we've been telling you for the last 13 years about the two-state solution. Benjamin Netanyahu said that as long as he was the prime minister, the two-state solution would never happen. Well, so they got rid of him. Donald Trump said that the two-state solution would never happen. They got rid of him, too. Now, who do they have in place? Well, everybody in place now is in favor of the two-state solution. Turn to Isaiah chapter 28. Turn to Isaiah chapter 28 and let me show you this. Isaiah 28, verse 14. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Isaiah is talking about a time when Israel would not have a king and they would not have God ruling over them, but they would be ruled by scornful men. Do I think that Yair Lapid loves Israel? I do. But from God's perspective, he is a scornful man. Why do I say that? Because he is in favor of dividing God's land of Israel. He gave a 29-minute speech yesterday at the United Nations, and if you listen to the whole thing, and I did, I listened to the whole thing yesterday. If you listen to the whole thing, he quotes the Bible. But he quotes the Bible in vain because he avoids the passages that talks about the parting of the land of Israel and how God hates that. And so we think about the Antichrist. Turn to, keep your finger in Isaiah 28 and turn to Luke chapter 21. We have a tendency to think that it is simply Antichrist that is coming against Israel, and he does. Luke 21 shows you in graphic detail, Luke 21:20, and ye shall see. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto, for these be the days of vengeance. The armies of Antichrist are going to destroy Israel, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But Isaiah chapter 28, verse 15 says, you are scornful men because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail, Job 38, where God shows, well, hold on a second, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. And then God says, and your covenant with death and shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. Turn to Job chapter 38 and look at what God showed Job. Job 38, and look down in verse 22 and 23. Job 38, 22. Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, Jacob's trouble, against the day of battle and war? So, the number one thing that I have to bring to your attention today, the number one thing that tells me we are at DEFCON 5 on the end times timeline, is that Israel has reached the point where they are ready to divide the land. That they have never been in this situation since they were regathered on May 14th, 1948. They are there right now. The United States wants to help them to do it. The second thing that I want to show you today, and I have said this multiple times, and I'll say it again, whatever is happening with the Russian war in Ukraine, it is just nuts what is happening over there. This is not like any other war I have ever seen. This is about political posturing. This is about taking down and taking out Russia. Now, I know you're going to say to me, well, wait a second. Didn't Russia attack Ukraine? Well, in a manner of speaking, they did. They are the ones that initiated the conflict. But look at what the United States is doing. I want you to take a listen to this clip from Tucker. And this clip from Tucker, I mean, he takes a little while to get to his point. But when he gets to his point, it will blow you away. Tucker is about to tell you that the United States is attempting to use the current conflict between Russia and Ukraine in order to start a nuclear war on Russia. Take a listen to this.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. Happy anniversary. This week marks the 7-month anniversary of the beginning of the war in Ukraine, something that's still going on and isn't talked about quite as much anymore. So the day that war began, which was February 24th, two things were very obvious. The first was that there was no way the Ukrainian army would be able to win a decisive military victory over Russia. And the reason was simple. Russia is too big. Ukraine is too small. The Russian military is many times the size of the Ukrainian military. Plus, of course, it has nuclear weapons. Russia itself is the largest country on planet Earth. It's got a relatively huge economy for the region, and it's got 145 million people who live there. Ukraine has a population of about 40 million. It's the poorest country in Europe. It's got an average annual income that is much lower than Albania's. So just by looking at the most basic Wikipedia-level numbers, it was clear right away that if Ukraine wanted to remain a sovereign country, and of course all of us wanted that for Ukraine, Ukraine was going to have to reach some kind of negotiated settlement with Russia. Pitched battles were not going to do it. Now, that's not a moral judgment. You can root for the Ukrainian military all you want. But it's still a fact, and there's no getting around it. The second thing that was immediately evident about this war was how unusually destructive it was and was going to be. It wasn't just Ukraine that was getting pummeled, though it certainly was. It was the entire Western economy, including our economy. Russian energy fuels Europe. A recession in Germany was certain to lead to a recession here. And in the months since, it has. A bad one. The longer this war goes on, inevitably, the poorer everyone is going to be, with the exception probably of Vladimir Putin. So we are breaking things that are very hard to rebuild. Again, this was very obvious the first day of the war. You weren't allowed to say it at the time. Anyone who did was denounced as a Russian spy. But it was still clearly true. And the Ukrainians certainly understood it. Back in April, according to an account in Foreign Policy magazine, negotiators from the governments of Russia and Ukraine met secretly and, quote, appeared to have tentatively agreed on the outlines of a negotiated interim settlement to end the war. The terms of the deal were simple. Russia would withdraw its troops from Ukraine. Ukraine would promise not to join NATO. So each side would get the thing that it wants most, simple and effective, and it might have worked. But the Biden administration adamantly opposed this settlement.
I'm going to stop Tucker there just for a second. He told you about the reasons for the Russian-Ukraine war. And now he's about to tell you how the Biden administration, obviously not led by Joe Biden, who is mentally not even there, Tucker is now going to show you how the people who are actually running the White House in Washington, D.C., they do not want a settlement to the war. They do not want it to end. And there's a very, very specific reason why they do not want this war to be over.
Biden's advisors didn't just want the Russians to leave Ukraine. That's what they told us they wanted on television. But no. Biden's advisors wanted a total regime change war against Russia, apparently to avenge the election of Donald Trump, which they believed Putin was responsible for, and they were willing to fight to the last Ukrainian to get it. So on April 9th of this year, the White House dispatched its hapless cutout, then British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, to Kiev. According to Ukrainian news media, Johnson communicated two messages to the Zelensky government. Quote, the first is that Putin is a war criminal. He should be pressured, not negotiated with. And the second is that even if Ukraine is ready to sign some agreements on guarantees with Putin, the West is not. In other words, who cares what the Ukrainians want? America and the UK demand total war with Russia, regime change war with Russia. And of course, the Ukrainians caught in the middle had no choice but to concede. So days later, the peace negotiations fell apart. This was virtually unreported at the time, but it was the turning point in the war in Ukraine. This was the moment where the goal changed from restoring Ukraine to what it was before the invasion, and that seems reasonable to everyone in the West, to something very different, to a war designed to topple Vladimir Putin, just like we toppled Saddam Hussein, and then hoping for the best afterward. That is clearly insane and dangerous. But that's where we are. And from that point on, everything changed. And that is how we got to where we are today, which is the closest we have ever been to nuclear conflict in history. This week, President Zelensky of Ukraine gave an interview to the left-wing newspaper, The Guardian. And in it, he casually called for the United States to nuke Vladimir Putin. Quote, the other nuclear states need to say very firmly that as soon as Russia even thinks of carrying out nuclear strikes on foreign territory, in this case, the territory of Ukraine, there will be swift retaliatory nuclear strikes to destroy the nuclear launch sites in Russia. Parse that, and we're quoting, as soon as Russia even thinks of carrying out nuclear strikes, meaning before Russia actually launches missiles, the U.S. needs to launch nuclear weapons against Russia. In other words, we need to launch nuclear weapons now. Why now? And how do we know that's what Zelensky meant? Because Zelensky was responding to this warning from the Russian government on Wednesday. Watch.
I want to remind you that our country also has various means of destruction. And for separate components and more modern than those of NATO countries, and when the territorial integrity of our country is threatened to protect Russia and our people, we will certainly use all means at our disposal. It's not a bluff.
It's not a bluff, says Putin, who we are told is insane, so we probably should take it seriously. He is, after all, running a country with the largest nuclear arsenal on the planet. And he's talking about using nuclear weapons if the West continues to threaten Russia's territorial integrity. It's a conditional warning. And of course, threatening Russia's territorial integrity was never part of the deal, right? You remember this. It's why you wore a Ukrainian lapel pin or put a Ukrainian flag in front of your house. Ukraine was invaded. The point was to kick the Russians out. That seems reasonable by any standard of fairness and decency. But that's not what the Biden administration is pushing for. They're pushing for toppling the government of Russia and once again hoping that everything will be fine after, that someone better will somehow take over. He's bad. Let's kill him. Heard that story before? So in response to what Putin just said, Ukraine's government called for an immediate nuclear attack on Russia, an attack that would, without question, result in the immediate destruction of New York, Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, the deaths of tens of millions of Americans. That's what he just said. Sane people do not talk this way, ever. If there was a moment for the Biden administration to shut this whole thing down and force a negotiated peace, which they could do in an instant, that moment is right now, before huge numbers of people die. But that's not what the Biden administration is doing. They're moving in the other direction at high speed and doing all they can to bring the West to the brink of destruction. At the UN yesterday, Joe Biden accused Russia, not Ukraine, of making overt nuclear threats. Watch.
This war is about extinguishing Ukraine's right to exist as a state, plain and simple, and Ukraine's right to exist as a people. Whoever you are, wherever you live, whatever you believe, that should make your blood run cold. President Putin has made overt nuclear threats against Europe and a reckless disregard for the responsibilities of the non-proliferation regime. We will stand in solidarity with Ukraine. We will stand in solidarity against Russia's aggression, period.
Okay, Putin is bad. Fine, agreed. But Putin is making nuclear threats. Whatever the reason he is making them, the fact he is making them, and the Ukrainians, of course, are also making explicit nuclear threats, is enough for any responsible person to say, now we stop, especially if that person is the leader of the United States, the country which is funding this war and that could end this war tonight by calling Ukraine to the table. Russian troops leave. Ukraine promises not to join NATO. Everything is as it was in January of this year, and everything's fine. We don't have to worry about New York getting nuked. But that's not what they want. So Joe Biden didn't say a word about America's responsibility here. Again, we are funding this war. We could end it. They're choosing not to. He didn't say a word about that at the United Nations, of course, because they want war.
So I think you see where Tucker is taking you. This war in Ukraine could be over tomorrow. The United States has the power to end the war, but they don't want to end the war. They want to keep it going. They are continuing to finance the war. They have no intention of stopping. Back in March of this year, we brought you a story with this headline: Obama's third term in 2014, America overthrew the government of Ukraine. In 2022, Biden just announced that regime change is coming to Russia. In his speech, Joe Biden urged democracies around the world to unify against Russia and commit to a historic battle against authoritarian aggression. In this battle, we need to be clear-eyed, he said. We need to steel ourselves for the long fight ahead. A dictator bent on rebuilding an empire will never erase people's love for liberty, Biden said at the end of a sweeping speech in Poland. Ukraine will never be a victory for Russia, for free people refuse to live in a world of hopelessness and darkness. For God's sake, Biden said, this man cannot remain in power. Joe Biden has the authority to end the war right now. Why is he allowing it to continue?
Putin has the gall to say he's denazifying Ukraine. It's a lie. It's just cynical. He knows that. And it's also obscene. President Zelensky was democratically elected. He's Jewish. His father's family was wiped out in the Nazi Holocaust. And Putin has the audacity, like all our autocrats before him, to believe that might will make right. There's simply no justification or provocation for Russia's choice of war. It's an example of one of the oldest human impulses, using brute force and disinformation
to satisfy a craving for absolute power and control. It's nothing less than a direct challenge to the rule-based international order established since the end of World War II. Vladimir Putin's aggression have cut you, the Russian people, off from the rest of the world. And it's taking Russia back to the 19th century. This is not who you are. This is not the future you deserve for your families and your children. I'm telling you the truth. This war is not worthy of you, the Russian people. Putin can and must end this war. The American people will stand with you and the brave citizens of Ukraine who want peace. Don't even think about moving on one single inch of NATO territory. We have sacred obligation. We have a sacred obligation under Article 5 to defend each and every inch of NATO territory with the full force of our collective power. Be not afraid.
All right, that's about enough of that, but I think you get the idea. Now, I want you to think about 2016 when Donald Trump won the presidency. What was the main thing? What was the main thing that they used to try to get Donald Trump impeached and put out of power? Was it personal scandals? No. Was it financial history and income tax problems? No. Do you remember the number one thing that the New World Order used for 2.5 years in an attempt to get rid of Donald Trump? Do you remember what it was? It was Russian collusion. What does anything have to do with Russia? It all has to do with Russia, but not in the way that you think it does.
Donald Trump's done. He's done. There's no question about that. He's done.
Breaking news.
A bombshell.
Today is a turning point. Today was historically bad for President Trump.
Today was a turning point.
A turning point.
We're at a turning point here.
The beginning of the end for the Trump presidency.
The beginning of the end.
And breaking news.
We have another bombshell.
Mike Pence might have to assume the office of the presidency.
The call for impeachment.
Rumblings of the word impeachment.
Breaking news.
Another bombshell out of the White House.
I believe this is the beginning of the end.
I do too.
It's really the beginning of the end.
The beginning of the end.
He may be feeling the walls closing in on him.
All the walls closing in on him.
The walls closing in on him.
Breaking news, a new bombshell.
One astrologer says this means the beginning of the end for President Donald Trump.
The beginning of the end of the Trump presidency.
Trump will resign.
Trump is going to resign.
Is this the tipping point? I know we've said it over and over.
You think this is a tipping point?
And over and over.
This is a tipping point.
And over and over.
Breaking news, President Trump off the rails.
There's a beginning of the end today.
The beginning of the end.
It reminds me a lot of the last days of Nixon.
Breaking news tonight, new bombshell.
This is the beginning of the end.
The beginning of the end.
The walls are closing in.
The walls closing in.
The walls closing in.
Breaking overnight bombshell.
This is a very dramatic day, and I think it might be near a tipping point. Do you think this is a tipping point?
This is unbelievable. This is remarkable. Have you ever seen anything like this?
His presidency is crippled.
December 1st, 2017, you can mark it down. This is the day that everything changed.
We begin with the bombshell.
The beginning of the end.
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 In fact, if this were a football game, we're in the third quarter. May even be the beginning of the end.
We begin tonight with the bombshell.
Donald Trump is in a lot of trouble.
Trump is in trouble.
The president will resign.
Another hour, another bombshell.
This is a tipping point.
Trump's going down.
This president could be impeached.
I do not think the president will serve out his term.
Resignation.
Resignation.
I don't think this president is going to serve out his term.
Mr. Trump will not serve out his term.
He will not serve out his term.
No way. No how.
Breaking news.
An absolute bombshell.
I think Donald Trump is in trouble.
Donald Trump is not. He's done. And it's over.
It's over.
The wall's closing in.
The wall's closing in.
This is going to be the Achilles heel.
Breaking news tonight. I expect Trump to depart.
This week will be the watershed week.
Trump is in big trouble.
Trump's in a lot of trouble.
It's a sign of a terrified old man who feels the
walls
closing in.
The walls
are increasingly
closing in on him.
Tonight the walls
are closing in.
Today changed everything. This is the beginning
of the end.
Today the biggest
tipping point for the Trump administration.
What a historic day. The bombshells, they fell.
It's entropy and it's crumbling internally.
He's underwater. He feels the walls closing in.
Could his testimony be a turning point?
We may be at a tipping point.
It's the beginning of
the end.
The beginning
of the end.
Another bombshell.
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 This is a bombshell.
It is a bombshell.
I am beginning to resent the word bombshell.
So, before we get off this topic, I want you to remember that in 2014, Barack Obama and Joe Biden hatched a plan to overthrow the government of Ukraine. And the person that they put into power was hostile towards Vladimir Putin and hostile towards Russia. And for the last 8 years, they have been pushing closer and closer and closer to the Russian border. Now, I'm not defending Vladimir Putin. I'm not defending Russia in any way, shape, or form. I'm just telling you that there are reasons for what you're seeing happening. And you heard what Tucker said. He played the clip of Vladimir Zelensky saying that if Russia even thinks about nuclear war, the United States needs to drop bombs immediately. Does that make you suspicious at all? That makes me highly suspicious. And of course, when you add to that, for the last 6 years in the United States, it has been Russia, 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 everywhere you turn. Is the United States, is the New World Order directing the United States to take down Russia? And to do what? To set up a base? Put somebody else in power? So when you look at this war that's happening, this is the strangest war that you'll ever see. And really, really weird things are going on. But Biden has already stated that Putin cannot remain in power. The United States is funding a war against Russia through Ukraine. And now Vladimir Putin has said through interpreters that they will use nuclear bombs if pushed. And he said it is not a bluff. If you don't think that you're close to nuclear war, then you're really, really not paying attention. Because you're very, very, very close to nuclear war. And the sad part is that we are getting closer to it because of what the United States is doing behind the scenes to keep this war going and to not allow it to be resolved. And that's the truth about the conflict between Russia and Ukraine right now. So number one reason why I think that we're at DEFCON 5 for the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Reason number one is Israel says that they are now prepared to accept a two-state solution. Reason number two, we are very, very close to possible nuclear war between the United States and Russia using Ukraine as a proxy. And now you're starting to see maybe why they overthrew the Ukrainian government back in 2014. Is the reason why Obama and Biden overthrew the government of Ukraine in 2014 so that the United States would have a power base from which to attack Russia through Ukraine? Tell me that doesn't blow your mind a little bit. All right, here's the third reason on my list as to why I think we are at DEFCON 5 in relationship to the timing of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. I don't even know how I can set this next clip up. Just take a listen.
I'm Cody, pronouns E-M, er-ers, or Z-Z-M, zers, or really any neo-pronouns that aren't Z-Her-Hers. I am a white, transmasculine, femme, non-binary, temporarily mostly able-bodied, neurodivergent, obsessive-compulsive, chronically ill, culturally Jewish, Unitarian Universalist, non-monogamous, demi-low romantic, gray demi-bisexual, survivor of acute and complex trauma, millennial, and cat parent in mental health recovery.
Three ways to let your friends know what gender you're feeling today! Gender fluid edition!
Pia said that you don't have to do any of these, these are just things that I do. One! Pronoun bracelets! You can get different coloured bracelets with different pronouns on. For example, this one says she, her, this one says he, him, and this one says they, them. The colours also correspond to how I'm feeling, so black usually goes with my black male outfits. This usually goes with, like, my pink female outfits, and this usually goes with my non-binary outfit. Just a way to let your friends know what gender you're feeling today and how they can address you. Pins are also another good option. For example, I have this one that says they, them for when I'm feeling non-binary. Two, clothing. Personally, I present very typically masculine when I'm feeling like a guy, and I present more ambiguously when I'm feeling like a non-binary, and when I'm feeling like a girl, I usually wear loads of pink. But anyone can wear anything that they want to, and it doesn't necessarily depend on gender. And finally, letting your friends know. Just tell them. That's it. Just tell them when you meet them. I'm feeling like this today, and can you dress me like this?
Back the pronouns. So if you don't know me, I teach middle school, and I get a lot of back and forth on my For You page about the generation that's coming up now. But I will say, one of the coolest things about this generation is that they really have tapped into who they are, what they believe, all of that. So specifically, I have one student, well, I've had three, but one student today came up to me and told me that they wanted me to change their pronouns and they would prefer if I referred to them as a different name. And I was like, yeah, of course, like that's just the respectful thing, right? But in my mind, I was just like, how cool is it to just know that you feel a certain way and that you want to be who you are? And like, I did not have that kind of security when I was in middle school, but like, it just makes me really proud of the kind of people that they're becoming because they know what they want and they know who they are. That's really cool to watch. Respect the pronouns.
Hi everyone! I don't think I've done like a general introduction yet as to who I am, so I thought I would do that now. Hi, my name is Bunny and I use bun pronouns. So who am I? I am a gender fluid, trans femme, pan romantic, great ace, white passing.
Enjoyed that video, and even if you didn't, I don't care. Be sure to hit the like button so that the rest of the YouTubes knows that our content is the best content out there.
So I don't even know what to say other than this. Luke chapter 17, 26 through 30. Here's reason number three that I believe that we're at DEFCON 5 in relationship to the launching of the rapture. Luke 17, 26 through 30. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. You are looking at the foundational underpinnings of the days of Lot. They have arrived. I don't mean their doctrinal fulfillment from Luke 17. I understand that that takes place during the time of Jacob's trouble. But it doesn't appear out of nowhere. It has to rise up from somewhere. When God pronounced that Nebuchadnezzar was going to overthrow Israel unless Israel repented, God didn't just push a button and make them appear out of nowhere like some sort of a supernatural army. These things happened over days and weeks and months and years. And God works out supernatural prophecy, but within the three-dimensional 24-hour day timeline that human beings live in. And so what I'm telling you is the days of Lot will be fulfilled during the time of Jacob's trouble after the rapture, but I am telling you, the days of Lot are assembling right now. And it's not just since the pandemic began. This has been going on for the last 20 to 25 years. In every couple of years, there is a quantum leap forward and more things take place. Barack Obama and Joe Biden put many of these things into place in the United States, which the other governments of the world copied. And this is where we are. Now, that clip was sad. It was heartbreaking. Some of it was laughable. Some of it was funny. Right up to the moment that you realize that this is not an isolated group of people from somewhere. That an entire movement is underway to do this to our children. And not just in the United States, but in every country in the world. And now you begin to see what the real motivation behind social media is and what the algorithms are pushing you towards. The days of Lot have arrived, not doctrinally, but the foundation has been put in place for the days of Lot. It is done. It is here. Now, you tell me how many people, and there's a couple of them, but I want you to start making a list. If you really want to see how pervasive this actually is, I want you to make a list of politicians that you like, and I want you to write down the stances that they take regarding the transgender movement. Maybe you have a favorite politician. Now, I don't want you to write down the things that they say to their base so that you can donate and reelect them. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about speeches that they make at the VFW hall and at the coffee shops and at the Iowa State Fair or up in New Hampshire. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the stand that they take as a politician in Congress and in the Senate. And when you make that list, you know what you're going to find? 98.5% of everybody that you think is doing the right thing is not doing the right thing. Now, they'll say all sorts of things to their home base. They'll go on social media and they'll say whatever. But look at their voting record. Look at what they actually accomplish in the Congress and in the Senate or whatever country that you live in the parliament or however the Knesset, however it is that your government is meted out. And you will find almost nobody who is standing against the transgender movement. In fact, what you'll find is hardcore conservatives supporting gender mutilation of children.
Letitia James ran for Attorney General of New York by promising to use her office to punish Donald Trump, because, of course, that's what law enforcement is for, to crush your political enemies. I look forward every day to suing Trump, James says. Well, now she is up for re-election, so she decided to actually do it. In a moment, we'll tell you what happened and what it means for the rule of law, assuming that still exists in the state of New York. But first, good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. For thousands of years, clinical trials have been the center of medicine. And the idea is very simple. Before you operate on someone or inject people with some new drug, you run trials first to make certain that what you're doing will help the patient more than it hurts the patient. This is not a new idea. James Lind did it back in the 18th century with his famous scurvy trials. In fact, medical testing has been going on since at least biblical times, because why wouldn't it? Daniel of Judah compared a vegetarian diet with the diet of the royal Babylonians over a 10-day period. So we had a control group, independent observers the whole thing. It's not complicated, but it is essential. Through history, very few have questioned this practice because it makes obvious sense, but it's sad. Never has American medicine been more transparently a racket than it is right now. With the most basic ethical guidelines gone, completely ignored, you should not be surprised to learn that some hospitals have decided to monetize the mental anguish of children. Consider the University of California at San Francisco Hospital. Supposedly, it's one of the best in the world. UCSF, despite its august reputation, is not even trying to behave responsibly with children who've been convinced by TikTok they should change their sex. So a new trend comes along, propelled by social media. It didn't exist before at scale. Now it does. Rather than pausing and asking, what is this and how can we help the children, they blow right past it. UCSF's hospital's current guidance for treating so-called transgender youth is this. We got this right from their website. Quote, as youth are transitioning at increasingly younger ages, genital surgery is being performed on a case-by-case basis more frequently in minors. Genital surgery on children. This is a very big step. It's irreversible. So you wonder, what is the medical basis for this? Well, a few sentences later, UCSF Hospital admits that there is no medical basis. Instead, quote, in the absence of solid evidence, providers often must rely on the expert opinions of innovators and thought leaders in the field. So UCSF is conducting genital surgeries on minors based on, quote, thought leaders in the field? What does that mean? Well, it means the Human Rights Campaign is in favor of it. It means activists are pushing it. It means there's no scientific data to justify it. This is horrifying. Why is this happening? And how widespread is it? No one seems to be interested. Virtually alone in our media, Matt Walsh of the Daily Wire decided to find out the answers to those questions. And in that search, he obtained this video. It's from 2018. The video shows a physician called Shane Taylor from Vanderbilt University Medical Center, which, like UCSF, SF has a global reputation for excellence. In this video, Taylor explains that Vanderbilt performs gruesome sexual surgeries on children. Why? Because those surgeries make Vanderbilt money. Oh, it makes money. So this huge new trend appears, again, driven not by medical research, but by social media, convincing children they can change their sex. And Vanderbilt, rather than pausing and asking once again, how do we help these children? What is this? Decides, oh, there's money there. We're all in. Now, it's hard to believe that everyone at Vanderbilt Hospital could possibly be for this because it's completely irresponsible and wrong. So what would happen if a physician at Vanderbilt, a conscientious objector, disagreed with mutilating children for profit? That's a key question. So another doctor called Ellen Clayton explained what would happen. Again, this video we're about to show you has also been around since 2018, but no one in the media cared to look at it until Matt Walsh found it this week.
If you are going to assert conscientious objection, you have to realize that that is problematic. You are doing something to another person, and you are not paying for the cost for your belief. I think that is a real issue. But I just want you to take home that saying that you're not going to do something because of your conscientious, because of your religious beliefs, is not without consequences. And it should not be without consequences. And I just want to put that out there. We are given enormous, if you don't want to do this kind of work, don't work at Vanderbilt.
Did you hear what that woman just said? If you don't want to perform gender mutilation, genital mutilation surgery on children, then you cannot work at Vanderbilt Hospital. Now, this is what the Days of Lot is really all about. It is not simply about the LGB movement. It is not simply about gay rights. The days of Lot is about a fundamental spiritual and psychological and physical shift that takes place where the world begins to openly embrace the things that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for doing. Do you really think that the only crime of Sodom and Gomorrah was simply just being a garden variety homosexual? I'm not justifying it. I'm not saying it's right. But when you really read the account in the book of Genesis about what those men of Sodom wanted to do to those two angels, and even what Lot said about his own two virgin daughters, and then he wound up having incest with those daughters after God destroyed Sodom. And this is where the Edomites come from. This is where Edom and Moab come from. The reason why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah was for a absolute fundamental shift in thinking, in their spiritual lives, their mental lives, their physical lives. And it was getting worse and worse and worse. And God said, that's it. That is enough. Now, turn to Revelation chapter 11. And we may have to go a couple minutes over because I'm nowhere as close to finishing. If you guys want to go a little bit over, just let me know in the chat room because I got a little bit more to say. But Revelation chapter 11, look at verses 7 and 8. Revelation 11, verses 7 and 8. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Now, the great city in Revelation 11:8 is Jerusalem. The Bible says about Jerusalem, it is the city of peace. It is the city of David. It is the city of the great king. It is also the place where God has chosen to place his name. So how is it possible that it becomes Sodom and Egypt? It becomes Sodom and Egypt because Antichrist is there. That's how it becomes Sodom and Egypt. And the days of Lot is about so much more than just the rise of the homosexual movement. It has to do with preparing the world for the spirit of Antichrist, which, if you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you know that we said that that happened 2 years ago. And so that is fundamentally what the days of Lot is all about. Second Chronicles 12:13. Second Chronicles 12:13. Take a listen to this. So King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. For Rehoboam was 140 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. Now, if you understand what the city of Jerusalem actually is, it is the place where God has placed his name. And then you read Revelation 11:8, it says that the great city has become like Sodom and Egypt. Turn to Job chapter 41. Turn to Job chapter 41. I'll show you something about the spirit of Antichrist and the LGBTQIA movement. You think this is just about homosexual sex? You are 100% wrong. This is about preparing the world for Antichrist. Job 41:34, talking about Leviathan. Job 41:34, he beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. So what you have to understand, and this is why this is reason number three, you have to understand that the days of Lot are the days in which the world is prepared to receive the spiritual kingdom of Antichrist. This goes so much farther past simply talking about homosexual sex or gay pride or anything like that. This is about preparing the world to receive the kingdom of Antichrist. And these clips that I've been playing for you, that's exactly what's being prepared. That's exactly what's happening. So Luke chapter 17 says that this is what it's going to be like in the days of Lot. The same passage also tells you about the days of Noah, the return of the fallen angels, the return of the Nephilim. The days of Lot have to do with the LGBTQIA movement setting the stage for Antichrist government. And the days of Noah, that is going to herald the return of otherworldly creatures making contact with our society. Take a listen to this.
UFO news. There have been unexplained sightings of flying objects in the sky for decades. The Pentagon recently formed a new office to study UFO reports, and now it's NASA's turn. The space agency launching a new team to investigate who or what may be behind the unexplained sightings. Here's NBC's Gotti Schwartz.
The effort to uncover the mystery behind those UFO sightings is about to get some help from some serious space probes. NASA announcing it'll form a new and independent team to investigate unidentified aerial phenomenon, or UAPs, but instead of focusing on classified encounters with military jets, the agency plans to examine data they've already possibly captured and may even include recordings taken by civilians. Just last month, this video shot on an iPhone during an air show in Miami appears to show something shooting up out of the water with people swimming nearby.
And I saw it and I was like, what in the... Like, no way.
NASA's review could even include videos like this possible sighting captured in Utah by a film crew in 2016.
I don't think it's a bird. I don't think it's a bug. I think it's exactly what a, you know, UFO stands for, unidentified flying object.
Once the investigative team officially launches in the fall, they're hoping to cross-reference things like video with other data, like satellite images or low-orbit observations made by the space agency.
This is what we do at NASA. This is not our first rodeo. We discover and explore many, many things in ways that, frankly, at the beginning look almost like a miracle. And then as we go forward, looks like something new we never would have guessed.
It all comes just weeks after Congress held its first public UFO hearing in half a century, following hundreds of unexplainable sightings by the military in restricted airspace. And while most of those are expected to remain classified, including at least 11 near misses with military jets, more everyday Americans, baffled by what they've seen, are now hoping NASA could soon provide more public answers.
Do you have enough data to say what these could be?
At this moment in time, we do not have enough data to really conclude.
Does that mean that it's not extraterrestrial life?
I'm a scientist, and if somebody asks me, is this extraterrestrial life? Frankly, at this moment in time, the simple answer is the right one, which is I don't know.
For the news, I'm Gotti Schwartz.
So you have the days of Lot. That's happening. You have the days of Noah. That's happening. while back, we did an article called Operation Paperclip. Back in 2019, we wrote, as America celebrates the 50th anniversary of Apollo 11, no mention is made of the brutal Nazi war criminals who made the historic moon landing possible. Now, I'm not here to debate whether or not we actually landed on the moon. I'm here to tell you that the United States Space Agency called NASA was created by Nazis. N-A-Z-I-N-A-S-A. Now, maybe you don't see a coincidence there. Maybe you don't see any sort of a conspiracy theory there, but I absolutely do. And you know, there's been lots of books written, Empire Beneath the Ice and the Genesis 6 Giants. And we sell those books. We have a whole alien section. And you can go to BibleBeliever.com and you can go to the alien section. You can get some great books by Bill Grady and Steve Quayle and all sorts of great books that we have on the topic. But go to BibleBeliever.com and get yourself a copy of Empire Beneath the Ice and see what's really happening and see what's really going on. Everybody talks about the amazing technology that the Nazis had in World War II, and they were working on their Vengeance rockets and all this other stuff that they did. And yet, when World War II was over, the United States took the very same people who were responsible for creating all that technology, brought them to the United States, and that's where we got our nuclear bomb from. We had been working on a nuclear bomb. We couldn't make it work. We grabbed the Nazi scientists. We brought them to America. All of a sudden, we're ending the war with Japan with a functioning bomb. So, when I look at the histories of the Nazis, and I look at the establishment of NASA, have you ever looked at the logo for NASA? It's a forked split tongue, is what it is. It is a forked split tongue. Now, I'm sure that that's just a coincidence and doesn't mean anything. But the name of the group is suspect. The logo of the group is suspect. And if you don't think that that is bringing about the days of Noah, then you really haven't been paying attention. And so we sell all these books where you can discover these things. Just go to BibleBeliever.com. We have a whole new section called Aliens and Angels. And go there and check it out. We have some really great books by Jeffrey Mardis and the books by Steve Quayle, Peter Ruckman, Clarence Larkin. Go check that out. Go check that out. A lot of people in the chat room seem to be surprised about the NASA logo. They don't remember looking at that logo and seeing a forked split tongue. It's amazing what your mind will look past when you're not really looking at what's right in front of you. Isn't it amazing what your eyes can just look right past? I just put the NASA logo into the chat room. Take a look at that. Does that look like a split forked tongue to you? Sure does. Comes to a nice little point like a devil horn. Oh, and it just happens to be red. NASA started by Nazis. Days of Lot, Days of Noah. The next reason that I want to give you for why I think that we are at DEFCON 5 is that this world is rapidly becoming unnatural. Marky Mark is asking, Leviathan and Behemoth are the same being. Behemoth means a multi-headed beast. And that's what Daniel saw, and that's what you see in Revelation chapter 13. And these things represent the kingdom of Antichrist. Leviathan is a very large sea-dwelling creature. And of course, Revelation says that Satan is a seven-headed red dragon. So Leviathan, Satan, the devil, Behemoth, they are all different aspects of the same thing. They're all different aspects of the same thing. So the next reason that I want to give you as to why that I think that we are at DEFCON 5 regarding the rapture is that the world is rapidly turning very unnatural. Take a listen to this.
I'm Nicole Kidman, and I am going to eat a four-course meal of bugs. I am here to reveal my hidden talent, eating micro-livestock. Cornworms, they're still alive. Extraordinary. Very moist, chewy. Can't quite describe the flavor, but need a little water. Let's try the second course, shall we? Just a little side note. 2 billion people in the world eat bugs, and I'm one of them. Because here we go. Have some mealworms. I'm telling you, I'd win Survivor. That is a fruity taste. I'd recommend it. Here we have. Oh, crickets. Oh, nothing. Oh, awesome. Like nothing you've ever tasted. Like a hairy nut. Don't. Oh my gosh. A nut from the shell. And now for dessert. The fried grasshopper. These are amazing. These are exquisite grasshoppers. I recommend them to anyone. Thank you for spending so much time with me and watching me eat bugs. Till next time.
Now, unless you think that that is just the eccentric eating habits of Nicole Kidman, this is an entire world movement. It's called the sustainable movement. And one of the ways that you reach sustainability is by eating bugs and eating things that are in great supply. And that's why they use the term sustainable, because this world will never run out of bugs. It will never run out of rats and roaches. And so the world is telling you now that if you want to be kind to the planet, if you want to be kind to the planet, then you've got to eat these bugs. And this movement is very, very large. And so what do we see? We see that this world is calling you to do things that are not right, that are not natural. And when you combine this with the days of Lot and the days of Noah and all the other wacky stuff that's going on, I don't recall a time in modern human history where people thought the way that they think right now. The next reason that I want to give you as to why I think we are as close as we are, for the first time in 70 years, England has a king. But not just any king, England has King Charles III. Now, I did a little bit of digging, and wasn't hard to come up with some astonishing references and connections to King Charles III, otherwise formerly known as Prince Charles. And I found that King Charles III is a direct blood relation to Vlad the Impaler. You might have remembered seeing a movie about Dracula. Well, Dracula, the legend of Dracula, is based on a real-life person called Vlad the Impaler. King Charles III is a direct descendant of Vlad the Impaler. Now, that by itself is just an interesting anecdote. But when you combine that with this, well, now you have something. Take a listen to Prince Charles calling for trillions of dollars to be given to somebody.
So, ladies and gentlemen, my plea today is for countries to come together to create the environment that enables every sector of industry to take the action required. We know this will take trillions, not billions of dollars. We also know that countries, many of whom are burdened by growing levels of debt, simply cannot afford to go green. Here we need a vast military-style campaign to marshal the strength of the global private sector. With trillions at its disposal, far beyond global GDP, and with the greatest respect, beyond even the governments of the world's leaders, it offers the only real prospect of achieving fundamental economic transition.
So, there you have King Charles III as Prince Charles. And he wants to give trillions of dollars and a vast military-style campaign to an unnamed person. And now he is the king of the United Kingdom. Brothers and sisters, if you don't think that we are at DEFCON 5, that is absolutely your right to think that. I started this program by saying that I was going to share my heart with you. I was going to share my feelings with you and my opinions. Opinions based on 13 years of being in the trenches, looking at tens of thousands of videos and news articles, doing ever-increasing amounts of Bible study, increasing the broadcast time that we're doing by 600%. I've come to believe that we are at DEFCON 5 now. I don't have a date for you. I wouldn't ruin this broadcast by giving you a date. I don't believe that anyone can successfully name a date. Tomorrow is September 24th, and a lot of people emailed me about that. That's just another QAnon piece of garbage. The rapture could happen tomorrow, but the rapture could happen in 5 minutes. It could happen tonight. It could happen Sunday. But if you're looking at the so-called prophecy of September 24th, you can throw that out the window, because I guarantee you it will not happen tomorrow. I guarantee it. Because that is just QAnon, social media, TikTok nonsense is all that is. But the things that we're talking about today is not nonsense. I don't have a date. I wish I did. But I know the time, and the time is now. The time is right now. And I hope that I have been able to show you just a little bit today as to what is really actually happening. And we are bombarded with so much endless news and headlines that we forget what happened yesterday or a week ago. So the Lord put on my heart 3, 4, 5, 6 things to show you that these things would not be happening if we weren't where I'm telling you that we are. Now, I want to play this clip, and I want you to listen to it, and then I'm going to say something after it. Take a listen to this and really, really just stop chatting in the chat room for just a moment and listen to this clip. And then I'm going to talk about this clip and then we're going to be done.
As soon as peace occurs, I want that cloth distributed to the workers. 2.5 meters each. Also, each person is to get a bottle of vodka. They won't drink it. They know its value. Likewise, those Egyptian cigarettes we organized.
It'll be done, everything you ask.
We have written a letter trying to explain things in case you were captured. Every worker has signed it.
Idea. If I just...
There will be generations because of what you did.
I didn't do enough.
You did so much.
This car. Good would have bought this car. Why did I keep the car? 10 people right there. 10 people. 10 more people. This pin. 2 people. This is gold. 2 more people. He would have given me 2 for at least 1. He would have given me 1. 1 more. 1 more person.
doesn't stand for this. I could have gone on to a person, and I didn't. I didn't.
Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, they are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look unto the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And herein is that saying true, One soweth and another reapeth. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. So now I want to give you the last reason why I believe that we are at DEFCON 5. Our free Bible program and the Bibles Behind Bars program is exploding. It's almost more than we can handle. And this Bibles Behind Bars program came out of nowhere. God just dropped it down. And I'm so glad for it, and I'm so grateful for it, and I'm so appreciative for it. But believe me when I tell you that when I really think about what God is doing through all of us, it is almost as if there is no more time left. And God is just dumping it on anybody who wants to get something done. And so, I'm going to commit and recommit and double down and triple down on where God is working. And he's working through this free Bible program to a degree that is, in my mind, I honestly never dreamed something this big. And we're giving it away. We are giving God's preserved word away for free. 2 or 3 more weeks, we're going to hit 50,000. We should be at 50,000 by the second week of October. And when I look at what God is doing with this program and what he is doing with all of us, I just went to the Waygiver donation page. It says, given by 4,598 generous donors, but that does not count all the other people who gave in different ways. It's thousands more than that. And so the last reason that I believe that we are at DEFCON 5, as far as the pre-tribulation rapture of the church is concerned, is because God is doing an explosive and amazing work with us. And I know I talk about this program all the time, but I talk about it because it keeps getting bigger. And more jails and prisons and shelters and preachers and pastors and missionaries and countries, they're all coming online. And so when I look at this, it is almost as if God is saying, time is almost up. I'm just going to dump it on whoever wants it. And I'm here to tell you that he is dumping it on us to an unbelievable degree. And so in closing, let me just say that I believe that the time has arrived. I believe that we are there. And if we are still here a year from now, well, praise the Lord, we'll get something done. However long he leaves us here, that's fine with me. But it just looks and sounds and feels like that's exactly where we are. And I want to be ready when that day happens. I want to be ready when I hear my voice spoken and the Lord says, Jeffrey, come up hither. I want to go up with a smile on my face knowing that I did everything that God left me here to do. And I know that's the prayer of all of you as well. But this is why I believe that we are where we are for all these reasons that I've laid out to you for the last 2 hours. Now, what you do with this is up to you. But I want you to pray about it. And I want you to see if the Holy Spirit will confirm to you what he's confirmed to me. Because I'm ready to go. And I believe that that time is, well, it's here. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father God, for all that you do for us and for waking us up today. We thank you, God, for all these reasons that you've laid out. And Lord, I'm not setting a date. I don't know the date, but it feels like the time is now. And give us a vision of the end times, Lord. Give us a desire. And just like that clip from Schindler's List, and Schindler, he did some really big stuff and he risked his own life. But he knew at the end, he could have gotten one more, 10 more, 5 more. And that's the attitude that we need to have in these last days. So Father God, I pray that you would give us a passion and a desire to use everything that we have, all the resources that you've given us, all the talents that you've given us, that we would use it for your glory, Lord, in these last days, in these last closing moments, to reach just one more soul for you. And we'll give you all the honor and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for tuning in to this very special broadcast. Thank you for being part of the NTEB family across America and around the world. And Lord willing, we'll see you back here Sunday morning, 11 a.m., for another NTEB House Church Sunday service. Have a great weekend, everybody.
The singers are tired. The church, as we know it, is losing its fire. And some are discouraged from bearing the load. But we must determine to keep pressing on. 'Cause it's just one more soul word to walk down the aisle. Every struggle, it would be worth every mile. A lifetime of labor is still worth it all. If it rescues just one more soul. So preachers keep preaching, and singers go sing, and laymen keep sharing that Jesus is King. The angels have gathered, they're surrounding the throne, and they'll start rejoicing for just one more soul. 'Cause it's just one more soul.